Under the Scope.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Under the Scope. It's been a while. It's been a few weeks. We've had screening passes, but we haven't gotten any because there's been a lot of really bad movies in March and April. But here we are in May. It's the summer movie season, and we are ready to kick it off again here in the summer movie... I don't have a name for it. The series of summer reviews. Whatever. Carrie's here.
Hello.
Carrie, you know Carrie. She's been here before. We saw Avengers Age of Ultron over the weekend, but that's been reviewed to death, so we didn't bother to do a review. We just enjoyed the film for what it was, but we'll probably talk about that on the show proper in the coming weeks. But tonight, we saw what is probably a very anticipated sequel for some people. Mm-hmm. Speak up there.
Come yes,
it is. that is, you're like the girl who talks very softly in the sequel to hit a cappella film Pitch Perfect. We are talking Pitch Perfect 2. How did they come up with a title so original like that?
I don't know. You can't beat it, I guess.
So here we are a few years later. I think it's 3 years forward in our timeline of the movie.
That's it?
I think they talked about them winning three national champions. All your favorites are back, except for the ones that were seniors when the first movie happened. They've graduated, but they still managed to make an appearance in this film. but, of course, your star, Becca Anna Kendrick, she's there. We have a newcomer... she's not a newcomer to film, but she's a newcomer to the franchise. That's Hailee Steinfeld. Yes. You may know her from True Grit, the movie, and other things she's been in.
She
I know
else.
Her from True Grit. That's all I know her from.
All right.
Elizabeth Banks is back, and she also gets the directorial nod this time. I think this may be her directorial debut, at least at the feature level. So,
I have not heard of her directing anything else.
No, I hadn't either. So, who else is back? Oh, everyone else. Your favorite... crazy magician dude on the Troublemakers or whatever the person introduced them as. It was weird. It was funny.
I don't know who was back because I didn't see the first movie.
That's true. So let's talk about that a little bit. This is, like I said, a sequel.
Right.
And I think that the audience who's seeing this has probably seen the first one. So there's a lot of shorthand going on. There's a lot of nods to the characters. If you didn't see the first one, you don't know who they are or what they do, I think you're probably going to be lost in this one. Would you say that? I mean, you're going to get some of the larger brushstrokes, but maybe some of the finer details.
Yeah.
I just think that they probably take it for granted that their audience knows these characters pretty well.
Most of them probably.
So they're not going to spend much time on, I'll never remember his name, but the magic dude.
Yeah.
There was a whole thing with him doing magic. In the first one.
Okay.
And that's sort of a callback in this one.
Sure.
The girl who talked very quietly, that was her thing until she sort of burst out of her shell in the first one.
Okay.
So you get these little things with the characters that have already been established in the first one. And I'm not sure that they... I don't know. I'm a little on the fence whether or not they should have spent a little more time maybe reacquainting us, or maybe they just understand that people are just going to know these characters. The first one was a pretty big hit. So, Anyway, so our story goes, the Bellas have been reigning national champions for 3 years now, the Barden Bellas. And they are performing at Lincoln Center or some place for the president.
Yes.
And there is a bit of a snafu in the performance, let's say that. Fat Amy, Rebel Wilson, also back. Something goes wrong. She comes in like a wrecking ball and things go wrong. And it leads to them having been, what do they get, the disqualified? No, they don't get disqualified.
Like
they
suspended.
Get suspended, for whatever, apparently the collegiate a cappella board met. This is probably a fake institution, but we'll just go with it in the world lives in. they've said that the thing that happened has tarnished the good name of a cappella for everyone, and now they've been suspended. But... since they're national champions, they're still able to compete in the world championships of a cappella.
It's a loophole.
I'm not 100% that's a real thing.
I don't think it is. We should look it up later.
But we need to elevate. we need to elevate in this movie. We need to elevate the risks and the rewards. And this time, apparently, they get a bargain, where if they manage to win this competition, they can be reinstated. So our central storyline is thrust forward. There is a German, the European champions, there's this German group called Das Sound Machine, who's very, very precise, very, very good, and very, very large, and very efficient, because everything German is efficient.
Is it?
Sure, why not?
Got a text.
Incoming text. And so basically the film is sort of the ups and downs of the Bellas as they try to, over the months, put together a winning performance to reclaim their title or really represent America and win the world championships. Along the way, they're facing, you know, your usual senior college tribulations, like, what am I going to do with my life? Becca ends up taking an internship at a recording studio with a great cameo appearance. I guess more than a cameo. A small role by Key and Peele's Keegan-Michael Key. Yeah. I like him. Probably my favorite part of the film was him.
Yeah,
because he's just so good. So funny.
He is funny. And he's cute. Don't forget that.
He is. I'm not going to disagree with you there. Not going to disagree with you. So, what did you think about the movie?
I thought it was funny.
You thought it was funny. There were definitely laughs.
I laughed a lot.
I found myself laughing at some of the more subtle things, and the audience was laughing at the broader stuff.
That's true.
We had some people behind us who, at any particular funny line, would immediately repeat it back.
Yes.
Thereby committing it to memory, I'm assuming that's what they're doing, because that's
one of those tricks. They will memorize the movie.
They will. They're the type of people who are huge super fans. Mm-hmm. That's it? Was just funny? That's it? Anything else to say?
I was entertained. I liked the music.
Yeah.
I liked all, and I probably will see the first movie.
To me, this movie is almost a carbon copy of the first one.
Is it?
It's very much the same style of film in wherein the star of the show is very much the a cappella arrangements and the mashup of popular songs in a cappella style. I'm going to spoil the first one a little bit for you, but the arc is sort of the Barton Bellas are sort of this sort of stiff, traditional a cappella troupe, until Becca, who's a DJ and remix artist, comes along and sort of switches up the game, and they sort of find their new sound and ascend to glory. There isn't really that arc in this one, because they kind of start at that point, and they just sort of make a little bit of a progression along that road. And I guess in the end, they're still doing the same thing, although they make a switch at the end. I won't spoil that. So.
All right.
But for me, the star of the show is the music.
Yeah.
And that's what you love. That's what the audience loves. And if you're... I think you can probably enjoy the film just for that. Just for these moments of, you know, great interpretations of popular songs. You're going to know all the songs they sing for the most part. And you're going to hear them in a new way. That's probably going to be a lot of fun. Everything in between that, for me, is very pedestrian, by the book. I mean, it's all standard stuff. It's not necessarily bad, but they're not plowing any new fields here.
I didn't figure they would.
So if you're going into that, I mean, for me, I felt the same way about the first one. I felt like the rest of the story was a pretty by-the-numbers, coming-of-age, college student-type story that we've seen 100 times before. This is sort of familiar ground, in my opinion. It's just the roles are a little bit reversed now. Some of the characters who were younger in the first one are now the elders, and we've got new blood coming in. If anything, I felt disappointed that we didn't get more of the troublemakers. Because they were the chief rivals in the first one.
Oh, they were.
The boys.
I thought it was all about the girls.
Well, I mean, they're the stars, but obviously the main foils in the first one are the troublemakers, the guys. We get them at the beginning, and then we get the characters here and there, but they're really secondary to everything. I'll share this with you afterwards. I don't want to spoil it in the review, but I had a moment in the movie where, like, I know how this is going to go, and it didn't go that way. So I guess I was surprised, but I thought I knew how they were going to resolve things, but I don't know. I mean, it's a fun, light, enjoyable movie.
Yep.
That isn't too serious, but also, I don't know, it's a little light, it's a little, I don't know, it's sort of like, maybe I'm a little ambivalent about it, about liking something that probably doesn't have a lot of substance to it, and I really can't seem to bring myself to really give super top marks to something where it's mostly the musical performances that are being excited.
I mean, I like the new Annie, for God's sake.
Sure. There were parts where I was a little bored. There's parts where I was bored.
I'm
not that. The music part, though. I was just waiting for the next musical act.
This is the kind of movie, like, if it's on TV and you're doing stuff, yes, you have it on.
It's perfect for that kind of stuff.
That's exactly
it's perfect for is. That kind of stuff. This is a great cable movie.
Yes, it is. And I would watch it every time it's on, probably.
One last point of contention for me was I felt like at times the film sort of maybe got into parodying itself a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, maybe I don't remember the first one as well, but this one felt like it was sort of knew what it was and was going to sort of push it far enough where it felt like it was parodying its own type of film, if that makes any sense. That's just how I felt.
Well, I wonder what they'll do in the third one.
That's right. Maybe a third one is coming.
Parody themselves.
Well, we've talked enough about the second one. Before the third one comes out...
Moving on to the third.
Let's give this thing a scope score.
Okay.
The scope score is... 2 3/4 stars.
So 2 3/4 stars, a pretty standard compromise score when the two of us see a film. I didn't like it as much. You liked it better? I think it's a perfectly good summer movie.
Yes.
If you like the first one, by all means, you're going to love this one.
It's a lot of fun.
So, Carrie, tell them how they can stay in touch.
www.thescopeshow.com.
That's a good start.
Yay!
Yeah.
You Facebook, can,
yep,
Twitter.
Yep.
Snapchat.
If you're watching this on YouTube, you can like, comment, and subscribe. Okay. We don't have Snapchat.
You better get on
Adam
Snapchat.
Would just put dick pics on the whole thing. I mean, it just...
All the kids have Snapchat.
Well, we're not kids, as you can clearly see by the gray on my face. Anyway, thanks for tuning in. This has been Under the Scope. That's Carrie. I'm Jared. We will see you in just a few short hours, probably, because we've got another movie review going to tomorrow. You won't be there, but tell you, summer movie season is upon us. The reviews are going to come hot and heavy. Get ready, folks. See you later.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying arrivederci. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.